Jesus.
The yellow light!
I'm walking here!
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the KTTH smartphone app, which means you can listen to us on the app, but also you can watch me host the show. We've got a multicam setup that you can watch on the KTTH app, and I'm having, let's just be honest, an amazing hair day. You can say it. Say it. Say it. Say it.
Yeah. I mean, I think your hair always looks pretty good, but
that's how you do it, because you saved yourself. You saw the look I was giving you. Members of a regional women's country line dance team. Apparently, they triggered a whole bunch of Seattleites because they were wearing American flag themed T-shirts. You cannot make this up. And it is What's Trending, brought to you by Legacy Group Capital Northwest Fund.
Sorry, one second. I'm having computer issues.
Oh, no. His computer is breaking. It's going to break. Let's just see if it, should we just wait or should I just move on? I feel like if I continue to stare at him as his computer is breaking, it will actually be more nerve-wracking and probably better radio. Or at least for me, I'm more entertained because I see him sweating now and he realizes the music is about to die and he should just say, why don't I just pot it down and just get into the microphone and say, a Jason Rance exclusive. That means say a Jason Rance
exclusive.
There you go. Yeah, computers break. Or users break them. I'm not sure yet. So members of this women's country line dance team, they're called, let's turn off your computer so I don't hear that in my, thank you. Oh, people are definitely liking the webcam right now. The look I just gave him. Okay, so the name of the dance team is the Borderline Dance Team. This is regional. They've got members from all across Washington State. And they were invited, they say, to something called the Emerald City Hoedown. It's in Seattle. It was in Seattle, at least this past weekend. Doesn't seem like a very Seattle kind of event. The organizers said that the Rain Country Dance Association had been inviting them to come to this dance convention, this event, for several years, but they haven't been able to do it up until now. And so they decided, oh, yeah, we're going to do it. They were set to perform Saturday night, and when they showed up, didn't quite get the greeting that they had expected. The dance team happened to be wearing matching shirts that were themed around the American flag. It looked like an American flag. It wasn't actually an American flag. It follows all code, but it is designed to look like an American flag. Unfortunately, because this was in Seattle, apparently some people were very, very offended. They said, this is too much. This goes too far. How dare you? And as a result, he pretty much effectively canceled the performance that they were going to have. Now, Lindsay Stamp will be on the show today. She's the co-captain. And she talked to us exclusively. And she said that she was told by the organizers that their outfits had sparked a small percentage of people complaining. They said that they were triggered. They felt unsafe. The reason, at least that they brought up, one had to do with Israel's war against Hamas, and the other one had to do with transgender issues. Now, how they made the connection of just seeing a U.S. flag or theme around the flag on a shirt brought up, I guess you don't like the United States policy towards Israel. Don't worry, by the way, that's going to change relatively soon, it seems. What the flag has to do with transgender issues, I have no idea. I can tell you at least that the Rain Country Dance Association is an LGBTQ dance community. Country line dance, yeah.
Kind of an interesting combo.
Yeah, good for them. I don't quite understand the country line dance as a whole, mostly because it feels like everyone, I guess, doesn't do the same kind of dance. And how come in the movies, everyone always knows exactly the right choreography? These people had to practice. Maybe they're the weak ones and the people in the movie are the good ones.
Yeah, maybe.
Ever think about that. So they were there for about 30 minutes. And that was when they got this complaint. They were shocked. They were like, we're not making a political stance here. We're just patriotic as a group. We've got people of all different walks of life that are part of this dance crew. Why would this offend anyone? And yet, why does anything offend anyone on the far left? Because they're on the far left and they look for things to pretend to be upset about. or convince themselves they're upset. And then they try to ruin everything for everyone else. Now, they were told, she said, this co-captain, that there might be a small boycott. So what we need you to do is either take off this shirt and put on some street clothes, which the co-captain said no one brought any street clothes. Why would they? It's a T-shirt. That is also kind of like street clothes. Or they said, hey, we can give you some older shirts from the Emerald City Hoedown. You can wear that and perform in that, and that would be okay. But it was more like an ultimatum, she said, which was you either do this or you don't perform. And so they got together as a group. They said, what do you guys want to do? We practiced really hard to get here. We were looking forward to performing. We like doing what we do. And everyone, according to the co-captain and a statement that they posted on their Facebook page, every single one of the women said, yeah, I'm not taking off the shirt. We'll go home. We'll end it. Now, that shows you their commitment to patriotism. Now, it wasn't just them who decided to leave. In fact, another group stood with them in solidarity. And I reached out to them. They confirmed everything that happened according to the co-captain. West Coast Country Heat. Yeah, there's a lot of, I didn't realize there were so many groups. I went to their website. There was a lot of different line dancing groups. But they basically said, no, we're going to stand in solidarity with them. We have no problem with this. No one should have a problem with these American flag themed shirts. And they didn't perform. And again, you know, credit to them. They probably also put a ton of energy and effort into practicing, or they all realized they didn't put enough. And so they were looking for an out. I'm kidding. Well, you know, never know. But I mean, they decided to step away as well. Now, I reached out to the Rain Country Dance Association. They didn't really give me a substantive comment. It was basically what they had posted at the time on their Facebook page, which was, we're in the process of reviewing the details. We're going to reach out to those directly involved. Our organization is committed to our core values of inclusivity and respect, except for people with American flag, but I'm adding that part. And we will release a more comprehensive public statement later in the week. In other words, we're going to see if this story just goes away or if we're now going to be forced into releasing a comment. That's what that reads like to me. Because when I went on the Facebook page, I saw the board president, I guess, of the Rain Country Dance Association. Her name is Zadie Cambier. And while she didn't directly talk about this issue, she wrote to someone who was complaining about what happened, "We will be in continued communication with the captains of the dance team that were slated to perform Saturday." Just as a quick thing, as of yesterday, they were not in any communication, according to the co-captain. So I don't know what this continued communication piece means, unless they mean, well, you know, initially we talked to them like a year ago when we invited them. Maybe that's what they mean. But as of yesterday, at least, they did not talk to the co-captain. She says, to clarify, as this was not a competition, no one was disqualified and no one was asked to leave. That's why we say effectively asked to leave. While we are mending our relationships directly with the dance teams, although they weren't at the time, we will be disabling comments on this post because they don't want anyone else talking about it. Now, the story, after I posted it yesterday evening, 6 p.m., right after the show, it has since gone crazy viral. It's gotten picked up by national and international outlets. So I'm a guess they will have to put out an actual statement about what happened. The thing is, and I was talking to Lindsay, the co-captain, before she agreed to come on, and she was like, you know, I don't want to make this political. I wish this would have been handled a little bit differently. I wish they would have actually talked to us about why they were offended so we can actually have a conversation and talk through, well, why, here's why we're wearing flags. This is assuming, of course, that the people who complained, whether it was like 3 people or 30 people, I have no idea. But maybe they thought they were trying to make a political statement with the flag. Don't know why they would make that assumption versus, again, it's country music related. I kind of assumed everyone was all about, you know, God and country, right? I mean, it's just odd to me. It's quite literally called country music. I mean, you're representing your feelings, your patriotism towards this country. So, okay. Look, if you're the kind, I take this position consistently. if you are the one who is quote unquote triggered or feel quote unquote unsafe by an American flag, whether it's just one person or every single person in the building, that's a you problem. That is on you. You are making that choice. Now, if you want to say you are offended by a message that includes a flag that is inherently political and divisive, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. We can maybe have a bigger conversation. Kind of depends on what the political issue is, I guess. But at least I would understand that. If just the mere notion of being around something that reminds you of a flag is enough to send you crying and screaming about, we're going to boycott the dance-a-thon, that's on you. That's on you. And the organizers, whether or not they hold this position, I have no idea. Lindsay says that they were very cordial. It was a quick conversation, but she said, look, they were not mean about it. They didn't say, hey, you fascists, take off those shirts. They didn't do any of that. But as the organizer, here's what you get to decide. You either give in to something like this and ensure that it happens again and again and again, but most likely with something else that they're going to pretend to be offended by. Or you say, you know, this is a small group of people. It's not like we're going to lose out a whole bunch of money as a result of this and go under as a result of this. It's not like everyone's going to walk out. You know what? That's on you. You're not getting a refund for whatever it is you paid for these tickets because you don't like someone wearing a shirt that's American flag themed. Okay, that's how you handle it. It's really that simple. Because if you give in to these people, and this is, again, under the assumption that it wasn't actually the organizers who were upset, that it was, in fact, some guests, some people in the crowd. You can give in and ensure that you will never be able to escape this madness. And you can ensure that it will inspire other people in other groups to pull the same garbage. And you're going to have to live with that. I mean, we all have to live with it at some point if you do. Because there's going to be overlap in, you know, someone wanting to go to an event that's going to placate the loonies. But at some point, pick a lane. And if this is truly the lane that you're going to go down, okay, then just own it. Don't tell me, oh, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to try to come together, support inclusivity. No, you had the opportunity to support quote unquote inclusivity. You had that opportunity on Saturday. And based on what Lindsay's saying, you chose not to do it.
That was the bad kind of inclusivity.
Yeah. What is inclusivity if it doesn't mean being inclusive of people who have slightly different, maybe have slightly different political views? I have no idea what their political views are. Do I normally think, I suppose, that when someone is wearing an American flag that they're probably conservative? Yeah, sure. That's a branding problem for Democrats, though, because y'all seem to get mad when you see an American flag. It's kind of on you. You're the ones who want a second national anthem. That's kind of on you. So if that's not the case, then why would you not want to stick up for the flag, right? Why not stand firmly and proudly? And by the way, let's say this wasn't an LGBT event and someone showed up with rainbow colors and you had a small group of people who said, I don't know, I think they're all groomers. Would you just give in? No, of course that they wouldn't give in. Not in Seattle. I don't think anywhere they would give in for rainbow colors. And yet for this, it is what it is. No, I'm glad it's getting a lot of attention. And I hope it continues to get a lot more, especially if people go to ktth.com and click on the story. And then, of course, post it on your own Facebook wall or Twitter account. In fact, right now you can go to ktth.com or just text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. And I'll go ahead and send you a link directly to this story. I do like, we got a text from, I think, someone in Burien saying, I'm sure the dance organizers would have been fine if they were wearing communist Chinese flags or Palestinian flags. I don't know if they could recognize the Chinese flag, if I'm being totally honest. Palestinian, 100%. I think they would have loved it. They would have celebrated it, I bet. I bet they would have taken a photo and put it at the top of their Facebook page just to show you how inclusive they are
of anti-Semites. Or the Ukrainian flag.
Yeah, or the Ukrainian flag. Although, I think like they probably forgot about that one too. When was the last time you saw a Ukrainian flag?
Yeah, it's a little out of fashion now.
Yeah, it's been replaced by Palestinian flags. This is the new virtue signal. To say, hey, I'm with you. I don't understand any of the issues. But let's be honest, I didn't understand any of the Ukrainian issues either. I just knew Putin bad. And now I just know Jew bad. And so hashtag Palestinian pride or whatever it is now. Ugh, push the button.
What's trending? in Seattle.
Lululemon is closing its Pacific Place store in downtown Seattle. The last day will be a couple days from now. Actually, 3 days from now, it's going to close. Now, this announcement kind of just happened. No one anticipated this. There was not any, you know, rumblings about this. But they decided to exit the downtown location. You had about a week ago, we learned of a 112-year-old jewelry store named Fox's, also in downtown Seattle, saying, yeah, we're calling it quits too. And while Lululemon didn't tell us specifically why, they haven't released a statement, I'm going to surmise just a little tiny bit. Because AMC Pacific Place is the only thing in Pacific Place that maybe sometimes every once in a while has someone walking into it. Everything else, nothing. It is a ghost town at Pacific Place Mall. And I mean a ghost town. There are more security of like members there than there are customers and other employees combined. And I think they only have 3 security members. Like, it is seriously a ghost town. And the only time there's anyone at that AMC, because I go there for screenings, for media screenings, so I'm not even paying for anything. None of us are paying unless you get to the concession stand. That's it. No one goes there. It is completely dead. Why is it dead? Well, that's why Lululemon is really leaving, and that's why Fox's left. It's dead because of everything that's happening around it. It turns out that when you have a bunch of homeless people who are smoking fentanyl, passed out, wondering whether or not they're dead or alive, looking like a zombie in other cases, sometimes attacking you physically, other times yelling at you and screaming obscenities, it turns out, shocker I know, it's not very hospitable. And people don't really want to hang out in those areas. They prefer to go to a place in which they're not seeing a half-naked drug addict who is scratching at various sores that are bleeding, that are dripping with pus. Turns out they don't want to do that. Did you know that if you're at one of the, you know, cafes there, isn't that a great scene?
Yeah, I've noticed.
Yeah. You know, walking around downtown where the stench of urine is so thick, you quite literally taste it in the back of your throat. Not fun. Not fun. I have personal experience of this. Not fun. And this particular part of Seattle in general, who goes through that a lot? Say tourists.
Tourists.
Say also people who work downtown.
And people that work downtown.
Exactly. Now, does that seem like the best thing to experience? No. Do you think maybe it's playing a little bit of a role in why the vacancy rate is so high for offices there because they're still allowing people to work remotely? You think that might be playing a little bit of a role? Do you think it's wonderful for tourists to get off light rail in downtown Seattle and have to walk around the, again, homeless drug addicts who have taken over the 2 main entrance exit points to Pine and Third? You think they want to deal? No, they don't. And when there's fewer people in downtown, that means there are fewer people who will go into your business, which means you are not making any money, which means you're going to have to close down. Now, Lululemon is a company that is incredibly profitable, both in this country and globally. Last year, their numbers, they're in the Seattle Times, rose like 19% year over year. They're doing really, really well. They close this because it's not performing. That would be my guess. And it's not performing because of everything that's happening around it. And this is a concern for other businesses because at some point you're thinking to yourself, well, how much longer can I go? They just suffered through the pandemic where the economy was shut down. They barely scraped by, and now they're still getting hit with the fact that, yeah, we haven't recovered. And downtown Seattle has not recovered. Here's the owner of a restaurant, a pho restaurant, talking with Como TV.
When we first opened, it was definitely like a slow roll. It was kind of a lot of empty offices. People were still working from home a lot. I know Nike left and now Lululemon is leaving. I think it's a struggle and it worries us because we're very close. And it's just, and when there's vacancy, I think we worry about like the crime.
Now, Amazon is getting its employees to come back to the office more than just the 2 days a week. I think that officially goes into play May 1st, I think. But understand, because I live in this neighborhood, that benefits South Lake Union, not downtown. And you have to justify going into downtown Seattle if you go to the office at Amazon HQ. The three blocks around Amazon HQ, doing really great. They just opened another restaurant, sort of like a fast casual place. A few months ago, they had opened a different one. So business is actually doing pretty well, my guess is, because of Amazon employees. But keep two things in mind. Number one, they don't leave South Lake Union. And number two, a lot of them are going to Bellevue. A lot of them are going to Bellevue. They just triple down Amazon in Bellevue, and they're bringing thousands of more employees there. They're doing this, again, for the exact same reason that Lululemon is saying, yeah, I can't do this anymore. Now, Jason Harris is the manager of Great State Burger in South Lake Union. He said, yeah, the Amazon people are making a difference.
As soon as the announcements came out, there was like a big influx, a lot of people coming into the office. Parking lot's totally full. We're constantly hearing about, you know, friends of ours, their businesses going out. A lot of places closing up on the hill or even downtown.
Yeah. But remember, Seattle is thriving, we're told. I remember a few months ago, Benbridge Jewelers moved their temporary headquarters to their permanent location in downtown. With that one move, the framing was all about, oh, Seattle, you say Seattle's dying. Look at this. Why would Benbridge move here? Well, they got the land before COVID. So, you know, they kind of already committed. But no, how dare you? It's proof that the conservatives are lying. They're lying about what's going on downtown. Stop believing them. And then you had Mayor Bruce Harrell go down for the big opening, taking strategically placed photos so you wouldn't see any of the hobos in the background. Oh, we're coming back. Look at this resurgence. Meanwhile, all the businesses around it are closed. All of them. Oh, no, but they just released this one space there. Okay, cool. Well, let's talk in a year when it finally opens, and let's see how it's doing in a year. I don't understand who thinks they gain something by pretending that Seattle is thriving, especially in downtown. Because if your head is in the sand, you're not going to address the actual issues that are there. And while it's certainly true that it's better than what it was at the worst of the worst during the pandemic because of the criminal justice reforms, it's starting to return to that normal again. Sorry, that's the unfortunate reality. You can ignore it all you want, but that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. You got homelessness everywhere. You've got drug use everywhere. You've got random attacks, and you still have burglaries. Just a few weeks ago, we had the man who was walking his dog. He got randomly stabbed in the head by one of the drug addicted homeless people at that McDonald's on 3rd and Pine. Go there. Tell me if you feel safe. Don't go there at night, though, because then you're going to get hurt. 1-800-465-8774, your texts. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Really do appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget, if you ever miss a moment of the show, it's very selfish of you. I'm asking not for that much. 3 hours a day, plus the hour rebroadcast, clicking on my stories, buying from all of our sponsors, watching every appearance on Fox News.
The Leftovers.
The Leftovers podcast. I mean, what's wrong with you? But good news is I'm going to give you a little bit of a pass so long as you become a subscriber to the podcast, which, speaking of The Leftovers, it's a special podcast I do every day except yesterday because I forgot. But other than that, I do it every day. It's extra content, and it's only available if you are a podcast subscriber. I recommend you just get the KTTH app, which allows you to listen to all of our podcasts every single day, including Brian Suits, of course. And you can also watch both Brian Suits and I host our shows. You can see how we yell at the help if anyone was looking during the break right before it went to the screen with the schedule. I threw coffee in the face of Duncan, our 11-year-old intern. And I'm not proud of it, but I will also note that it made for good content on the web stream. Is he still crying?
Yeah.
Don't tell his mom.
Had to be done. I mean,
at some point, you're right. It does have to be done. It wasn't even that hot. It was warm, I guess. He's got a red face now. He just didn't. I meant Jackson did it.
I don't even drink coffee.
You better not tell on me, Duncan. Okay. So, Danny Westneat is so incredibly ignorant, which is something I've said many, 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 many times, and so it's not a revelation to find out that he's just not the brightest bulb. But today's column, which I'm assuming was rushed to be printed, is so over-the-top stupid. It's hard for me to not want to just go to his offices, point at him, and say, what are you doing? What have you become? Can you read? Can you use Google? Let's just connect you with ChatGPT, where you can ask it basic questions before you write about something you don't understand. He's writing in his column that was out today, or maybe last night, about the decision by a judge in Cowlitz County to declare unconstitutional the high-capacity magazine ban. Now, the entire, and we talked about this yesterday, the entirety of this decision, which is very well written, it's like 55 pages, really well written, was based on the Bruin decision. The Bruin decision came from the United States Supreme Court. They basically set up a new test that judges have to view any piece of legislation through as it relates to gun rights. And to determine if something is unconstitutional, what you do is see if there are any historical analogs to the bill, the law, whatever it is that you're looking at. Historical analogs, meaning, was something similarly considered at any point in our history? Now, you go as far back as you can, but obviously you can't always go far back to the founding because newer technologies and whatnot. But you see, people who didn't read the Bruin decision and get all of their talking points from Rachel Maddow and Joy Reid, they don't really understand. And again, I would highly recommend, including you guys who I'm presuming are more pro-gun than not, you should read it too, so you have a better understanding of what the Supreme Court has decided here. Now, Westneat thinks because the justices use originalism or an originalist position on the Constitution, that they mean literally the same law would have had to have passed back during our founding. I like to say finding, it's founding. Like exactly almost word for word. Otherwise, it wouldn't pass the Bruin test. And then they complain essentially, well, that means there can be no more laws. That's what he thinks, according to this article. It's possibly the dumbest article I think I've ever seen him written, right? And by the way, he leans into a professor from Virginia. He couldn't even find an anti-gun person here for some reason. There are plenty over at UW. You can just throw a rock in a class. You're going to hit some professor who hates guns. Couldn't find it. He went to a Virginia guy by the name of, what's his name, Robert Spitzer. So this is what he writes. And I'm going to read just a little bit from it, and then I'm going to humiliate him. He says, what in the world is going on here? Of course there were no quote-unquote hardware restrictions involving gun magazines in 1791, says Robert Spitzer, a professor at the College of William and Mary School of Law in Virginia. There weren't any laws about the internet in 1791 either. Or space aliens, he told me. The space aliens part makes no sense. There's no law right now about space aliens. Dummy. There were no laws about these things because there were no such things. Okay. Kind of talked about this yesterday, but let's just make sure we're all on the same page, because I imagine you're going to get other people who try to come at you with this same argument. The question isn't about whether or not there were magazine bans. That's not what the issue is. The Bruin decision simply means that new gun laws have to align with our historical tradition of regulation against guns. That's it. Not a literal law covering literally the same thing with literally the same device. Do you think, I know you hold no high regard for any conservative on the court, do you think their argument is literally saying you can't pass any gun law reforms unless it literally already existed? That's the argument that he's making there, right? Or am I misreading that argument?
That's what it sounds like.
I mean, that I'm misreading the argument?
No. That's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying. There weren't any laws about the internet in 1791 either. There were no laws about these things because there were no such things. Okay, good. Did you know that Bruin mentions technological advancements? Yeah, because, you know, you have to actually read it to understand that. That's why that this is about historical practices, traditions. And to make that point, ironically, all I have to do is read his article. He's wrong about it, but he makes the point. He says, is that gun laws, that gun laws have been with us since the very beginning and have tended to evolve as the guns have. You'd think that be the kind of a duh finding. Machine guns got banned, for instance, only after they were invented and got used in crimes. Yeah, oh, machine guns got banned only after they were invented, not before they were invented. Yeah, thanks. But of late, this obvious cause and effect has been a losing argument in gun cases. Okay. So, first of all, let's be clear. The gun laws have not evolved. Our rights have been restricted. And there's a huge difference between the two. Second, machine guns, guess what, will stay banned because of the Bruin test. We have historical precedent. It's called the National Firearms Act of 1934 and the Gun Control Act of 1968. Now, he's wrong to say that guns, he sounds like he's saying that they were invented in the 30s, which that's just not true. That's just historically inaccurate. You can go back to 1884 and find the first technically fully automatic machine gun.
Even earlier, technically, Civil War.
If you go into China, way before, but the first fully automatic is 1884. Now, he's right to say that obviously technology has changed, right? That the technological ability of a machine gun has been clearly advanced. And yes, it was banned because people were misusing them in a big way based on this newer technology. So in other words, their specific tradition of regulating machine guns for the purpose of public safety. And they used the new technology aspect of it to generate those restrictions. That's the tradition. All you have to do is go back to 1934 and 1968. Now, if in 1934 and 1968, they were using a handgun as a reason to, or using this to ban handguns, that wouldn't work. Why? Because we don't have a tradition of restricting access to handguns or rifles. Now, muskets were not fully automatic. They were quite cumbersome. But this new technology did change things. And that's why they're allowing for that. You cannot make this argument without actually reading Bruin, but he's trying to. That's the problem here. He doesn't understand the basics of Bruin. And people read this and think he's telling you something from a position of knowledge. There's no knowledge anywhere to be found in this article. He also doesn't seem to understand what originalism is, which is also kind of weird. He does not understand what originalism is. That basically means that the words that were used by the founders have to be reviewed or considered or understood through the lens of what those words meant at the time. That's all that this means. That's all it means as far as the judicial philosophy. That's it. It's actually very simple. What did they mean? That's the only question that you need to ask if you are an originalist. What do they mean? Now, here's an example. The First Amendment was ratified. Now, did they know that there would be a column on this thing called the interwebs that would make me livid? They had no idea.
Probably not.
No, they had no idea about the internet. Now, the guy who's the expert law professor quotes this line about the internet. They didn't even know that the internet was there. Okay. What was, using the originalism judicial philosophy, what was the intent of the words that they used? Was it to have less speech or more speech?
More.
Yeah. A lot more. It's pretty clear. And everything we know about what they were debating at the time, what they actually said at the time, and the quite literally the words of the First Amendment, make it really, really clear what their intent was. So using the originalist argument, why would you bring up the internet trying to make this like really wild point?
Yeah, if anything, I thought he undercut his own point.
He 100% undercuts his own point. he 100% undercuts his own point. But because he doesn't understand the Bruin decision, or in the case of the professor, I'm assuming he understands it, but he's trying to find a way to undercut it because he doesn't like it. He's telling you something that's not actually in that decision. Now, why does this all matter? Because as much as I think the state Supreme Court is going to just toss this out, because this is what they do when they don't like a bill and they can't obviously go ahead and just dismiss the constitutionality of something, they try to jump through hoops as best as they can. They'll try to jump through hoops. The basic argument as to why we're looking at this through the Bruin decision, and this is probably how the state Supreme Court's going to get around addressing the Bruin decision issue, they're going to say they don't consider a magazine a part of the gun. They're going to say that this is not, essentially they're going to say, it's not really the gun. The judge in this case, Basher, he said, well, of course it's part of the gun, because there are some guns that do not operate unless you have the high-capacity magazine. And we've already all established, this state Supreme Court has established with the Heller decision, also U.S. Supreme Court two-prong test, although it's kind of bunk now. But at the time, they said, yeah, we acknowledge that you have the right to bear arms. That they've established that. And so can you bear an arm if there's no bullets in it? I mean, the same argument, and I said this yesterday, the same argument is made when someone tries to ban, like, we're not technically banning guns, we're banning ammo. Yeah, but the gun doesn't work without the ammo, so you are, in fact, effectively banning guns. That's like saying you're not banning anyone from going online, you're just taking away the internet. I mean, you could devise it yourself. I guess. What are we doing? We're not stopping you from posting content on a website. We're just taking away your internet access. You still have a keyboard, right? Well, I mean, yeah. How do I get it onto? But that's what they're arguing. That's essentially what they're arguing. And so the judge just completely rejected that. And once you establish that you have the right to this firearm, then it goes into the Bruin test. That's how this works. And it's quite obvious. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter even what happens at the state Supreme Court, even though you would hope that they would make the right decision. It's going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. End of story. This is maybe not this particular case, but this issue will be decided at the U.S. Supreme Court. It is inevitable. And they're going to have to go, my guess is, assuming it's the same makeup of the court, they're going to send it back and say, hey, dummies, use the Bruin test, which is kind of a hint that says, yeah, this bill is unconstitutional, and you can't just reject Bruin because you don't like it. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. I love the people who will fight against something that is quite literally written into the Constitution. They'll fight against it, but say, abortion is a human right. Where'd you get that from? It's a constitutionally protected right. Where do you see abortion in there? Oh, God. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Welcome back to the Jason Rancher. Thank you so much for tuning in. We talked about a local dum-dum. Let's go to a national one. Whoopi Goldberg. I can't remember. I think it was Gutfeld last night, where they were asking a question of who's the dumbest on The View. And if you can't immediately come up with an answer, that's most definitely a problem, right? Because you're like, man, I mean, she's dumb, but dumber. Like, I think I could cross off some people from the list, I guess, because I never hear them speak. They're never in any clips, which has to mean they're not as dumb as the others. The blonde one.
I don't even know her name.
Yeah, that one. The one who I never see talk, so I haven't even bothered to learn her name. Everyone else, maybe Alyssa Farah Griffin, I call out because she's just a sellout, right? I mean, she's not necessarily dumb. I'm not taking a position on that yet, because all the clips I hear about her, it's just because she's a sellout. You've got Whoopi, Joy, Sunny. Now, I happen to think Sunny Hostin is the dumbest, and here's why. And maybe it's unfair for me to hold her to a higher standard, but she's a lawyer. I don't expect the actress and the comedian on the panel to be smarter than the lawyer. I expect them to be the dumbest of the dumb of the group, right? And I hope you would expect, if someone's in this studio with me and they're a Mensa member and they're a brain surgeon too, and you know they built a rocket ship to the moon with popsicles that actually kept together, I would expect you to be honest and say, I'm smarter than them. I don't need you just looking at the resume. You go with the person who clearly has the more impressive one and should be smarter than the other. So Sonny Hostin should be the smartest one. However, Whoopi is particularly dumb. But when she's not being ignorant, and I shouldn't call people dumb, ignorant, we'll say, which I think is actually worse. I like saying dumb. She's just bad faith. She just argues in bad faith. And this is another person who just doesn't understand how the Constitution works, doesn't understand any of the case law that she's citing. In this case, she was talking this morning about the Arizona Supreme Court decision that I'm now being told will virtually end all abortions in Arizona by people who haven't actually read what the issue is, including that little caveat of, we now send this bill back, or this law, back to the lower courts to figure out the other constitutional questions. Meaning, there are other constitutional questions. Do you know what that means?
You know what it means?
There's other constitutional questions.
Yeah, like literally just read what it says and you'll know. That's why there's a 14-day stay. Because now another court is going to say, we're now going to question whatever the next constitutional issue that you might bring up. Now, I suppose everyone could be all like, never mind, just kidding. We didn't have any other constitutional issues. We just threw that in to troll people, which I don't think happens. Oh, my God. But anyway, here's Whoopi Goldberg.
Take a look at the things that they're rolling back. Okay. Remember I said ages ago, you know, they, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back.
Oh, my God. I'm assuming she didn't even bother to Wikipedia this, but which was the party that ended slavery?
Republicans.
Okay. Interesting. I just wanted to throw that out. I mean, maybe we just flipped the positions here, kind of like Democrats flipped on Israel. Probably not. I don't think there's anyone who wants to bring back slavery. Just throwing that out there. Oh, my God.
They're okay with it because, you see, things change. You know, one of the good things about the Supreme Court is you can fight to make sure you make stuff better. Uh-huh. You don't generally fight to make stuff worse.
Or to roll back.
And to me, if you're okay rolling that.
Rolling back. Are we talking about gun rights? I can't tell from, because she's just talking about rolling back things. You can't roll back rights. Like previously having the right to have a high capacity magazine or an AR-15.
Not that, Jason.
But okay. I want to make sure we're on the same page. You can't roll back something that's, well, she did say something that's positive, right? Which to her, taking away gun rights is positive, and the ability to kill children, I mean, have an abortion, that's a positive. Okay.
Back. When things were not even a state, when we had no say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how's that going to roll? How's that going to roll? What's the next thing? Because, you know, on this, with all of this comes birth control.
Right.
With all of this comes everything that you need as a woman to have had put in place to make sure that we were doing better than we were before.
I still have yet to hear a single Republican idea that says ban birth control. Is Marjorie Taylor Greene pulling that? I don't think so. There's no one saying that. There's no one saying that. And by the way, birth control is not an abortion. So I don't even understand why they jump to that. No one is saying that. And by the way, why do they say they want, next they're going to want to ban birth control? But they don't, they mean it for women. They don't talk about condoms. Wouldn't the argument go then we would also want to ban condoms? Because the whole argument is that, I guess, sex is meant only for birthing kids. And that's the only thing that we want. Oh, okay, well, then why would we allow for condoms? Well, they're men. But it's the same point.
We just want to control women's bodies.
Yeah, get in that little Handmaid's Tale outfit and walk around. And then I'm going to throw the Game of Thrones meme in there. And we're going to throw tomatoes at you and say, shame, shame. But why does she say something like this? What did I say yesterday about the radical left? They ascribe the worst intentions to anyone that they happen to disagree with. She doesn't step back and say for a moment, even if you think the law in Arizona goes too far, which even Carrie Lake has come out and said that. Donald Trump has come out and said that. Even if you hold that view, could you not at least approach the conversation understanding what pro-life is all about, which is preserving life? We believe that life begins at inception. Now, do I know that? No, I don't. I have no idea. But I'm going to err on that side because I don't want to be wrong. Now, we can have that debate, and I'm totally open to having that debate. But you start talking to people slightly differently if you view it through that lens versus the lens of, I just want to control women's bodies. I have no interest in a woman's body in any way, shape, or form. So just FYI, it's a Jason Rant Show.